Now we come to the 23rd in our series of messages on the life of David. I want to go back to Psalm 139, verses 1 through 5, and finish some thoughts that I started. Let's read Psalm 139, verses 1 through 5. The Bible said, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. The Bible said, thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. Verse number 4 says, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Now, Father, will you bless the scriptures of the Word of God? I know you'll do that. Will you help me? I am, Lord, helpless without you, and I confess every sin. Use me in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I come to the fifth thought here in Psalm 139, verses 1 through 5. I was giving you eight thoughts, and I come to thought number 5, found in the latter part of verse number 3. And the Bible says, and art acquainted with all my ways. Now, David said here, Lord, you know my ways. You're acquainted with my ways. Now, David is a very young man to be searched out, to be tried by God Almighty. But God said that he trieth the righteous. Now, you say, preacher, I have never been tried by God. Well, let me say, maybe you're not living right. Amen. God never tried Lot. Lot never went through any temptation, trouble. Lot brought things on himself. Now, he went through the trouble on his own, but he never went through the trying of God. I think one of the blessedest chapters in the Bible, I think, is Genesis chapter number 22, where the Bible said, and the Lord did tempt Abraham. I tell you that when you come through a trial of God, where God tries you to see what you're made of, you, my friend, will be the strongest Christian ever. Amen. And I want to thank God publicly for every trial. And every time he's ever tried me, I want to thank God for it. It's not good at the time. I've literally cried tears, but I thank God for it. Amen. Now, he said in verse number 3, and art acquainted with all my ways. Psalm 119, verse 5 says, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Now, you know, I have ways. I'm self-willed. You know, in the book of 2 Peter, as Peter introduces the book, he calls himself Simon Peter. Now, the Lord said to him in another place that he'd no longer be called Simon, but Peter. Simon was Peter's fleshly name. And Peter was much older in 2 Peter chapter number 2. And Peter was just simply recognizing that he had that old fleshly nature. I've got self-will. That's why the Bible said that one of my qualifications as a preacher is that I cannot be self-willed. I've got to conquer that self-will. My biggest enemy is not the preacher down the street. My biggest enemy is not the deacon down the road. My biggest enemy is not the church down the road. My biggest enemy is Ricky L. Cothran. That's my biggest enemy. Amen. I am my own biggest enemy. And my self-will will get me into more trouble and get me away from God quicker than anything in the world. So, I got a self-will, and I got to work on that. Now, but David said, a young man, probably 18 years old, he understood that God was acquainted with all his ways, that God knew his ways. And yet, the psalmist said in Psalm 119:5, the Bible said, my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Oh, in other words, if I could line my will up with God's will, if I could just say, oh, God, help my ways to line up with the Bible. Now, many people won't. I'm going to say this. We're living in a day and hour when a lot of you, they're listening to me right now. You say, who are you preaching to? I'm preaching to you. And a lot of you, you don't want to line up with the Bible. You want the Bible to line up with you. When you hear statements like, well, now, preacher, times are changing. Well, now, preacher, I believe the Bible, but. Well, now, preacher, you understand the day we're living in. Well, now, preacher, you understand everybody's doing it. When you hear stuff like that, what people are wanting to do, anybody who says that kind of stuff, you're wanting the Bible to line up with you. Now, I want to say something to you. God is the great God in heaven, and He will never line up with you. He never will. You must conform to God, not God conforming to you. And so your ways must be God's ways. Amen. Now the word directed here means prepared or right. It means to be firmly established. Let's read that verse again. Psalm 119:5. Oh, that my ways were directed. In other words, they were prepared. They were firmly established. They were right. My ways were directed to keep thy statutes. You know, I find that a lot of people that call themselves Christians really don't want to be firmly established in the Bible. They want the Bible to conform to them. Again, but I want to be established in the Word of God. When it comes dying time and judgment time, I want to conform to God, not God conforming to me. The judgment seat's not going to be a picked. I heard a man say this one time, preaching. I don't know the man's name. I'm glad I don't know it. I don't know who he was. I heard him on the radio. And he said, I look forward to the judgment seat. Brother, I don't. I'll tell you right now, I do not. Now, I'm not going to. That maybe that man knew more about the Bible than I do. But I don't look forward to the judgment seat. Oh, no, because a lot of my ways are not conformed to the Bible. I tell you the truth, I'm flesh. I'm human. Now, I have two natures. Amen. I have the God nature and I have the flesh. Amen. And so I must every day overcome Ricky and try to live for God. Amen. And so the Lord is acquainted with all my ways. By the way, there's not a way in you that God's not acquainted with. Amen. The Lord's acquainted. Now, number 6 in my thoughts, and I'm going to spend a lot of time here. And I got to tell you, I'm going to just tell you before I start with this one. I don't want to preach this. I'll just tell you, I'm guilty, and I don't want to preach this. This one is to me, all right? You say, preacher, you preaching to us? I am, but I'm preaching to me on this one. And I don't really want to preach this, but I got to. Amen. The Bible said for me to preach this. Look at it in Psalm 139. Now, that's what we're studying, Psalm 139 and verse number 4. Look at Psalm 139, verse number 4. The Bible said, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Oh my. Here we go now on the tongue. Boy, if there's one thing Ricky Cothran needs, is his tongue controlled. Now, there's 1,000 preachers out there that just said amen. All right, I agree with you, and I'm going to confess it. But I say this, some of you don't control yours no better than I do. Amen. And we need God's help with our tongue. Now, here's a verse. You say, preacher, that's hard preaching. Well, you're calling the Bible hard. You better be careful. Here's a verse in the Bible. Here it is. In Matthew 12:36. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Oh my. God is keeping a record of our words. How about that? You know, I say a lot of idle words. Maybe I got a lot of foolishness in me. I don't know. I pick with people, say things. But you know, every idle word, things that we say about our brethren, I've said many things in my life that would have been better off not said. I'm honest with you. I've said, I have an opinion. You somebody said, well, that I'm going to give my opinion. You know what? We'd do ourselves a favor if we stopped giving our opinion. You're going to have your opinion in church business or you're going to bust. I'm going to say this. There's many things down through 46 years of serving God, being saved, that I could have said in the church. And I could have stood up and give my opinion. There are things, I'm thinking of situations right now. I could have given my opinion. I'll tell you what would happen. I'd have split those churches wide open. And God in the judgment seat, I would have given account for splitting the churches. Now listen, we're not to split churches. We're not to cause confusion. You say, well, I'm going to tell them what I think. Well, when you tell people what you think, you ain't thinking. Now I'm going to say that again. When you tell people what you think, you ain't thinking. Some things are better to be quiet. The Bible talked about reframing your lips. Amen. We're going to give an account of every idle word. That means when you go home and you roast the preacher and fry the preacher and cook the preacher, and you're going to give an account. I don't say anything against my preacher. I don't want to do that. Amen. Now, if I can't agree with a man of God and how he's pastoring and the way the leadership of the church is, then it is my obligation to find me another church. Amen. It is not my obligation to split the church or to cause problems in the church. Now, every idle word. Amen. Down on our jobs, do you have idle words? In your home, do you have idle words in front of your children? You wonder why that your children are no more faithful to the Sunday school than they are. I want to ask you a question. Have you criticized the Sunday school in their presence? Have you criticized the church in their presence? There's a dear lady, and she's gone to heaven now. She's a great saint of God. She's in heaven now. And she worked with me when I was a young kid in school. They hired her to help me. Now some of her folk listened to me on the radio. And this is a great saint of God. And one time, many years ago, they were having some problems in their church. And as a nosy little fella, I wanted to know everything that's going. That was the way my family was raised. You let something happen in the church, we talked about it for days and days. That's the way my family was. And that's wrong. That's wrong. But I kept questioning this lady about what was going on in her church. Could I pick up something wasn't right? You know, and she would not tell me. And boy, that made me mad. I wanted to know what was going on. But you know what? As a 14, 15-year-old boy, however old I was, I did not need to know what was going on in her church. Number one, it wasn't none of my business. It wasn't my church. And number two, I don't need to know gossip. You know that? So I want to clear myself. I'm asking God to help me with my tongue. Amen. And you say, preacher, I'm going to help you. Ask God to help you with your tongue. That's all right, but you better ask God to help you with yours too. Amen. That's right. Listen, we need to control these tongues, don't we? Amen. Let me read Matthew 12:36 again. But I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, the Bible said, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. How about that? There's a judgment coming. Don't you forget that. Don't I forget that. There's a judgment coming, and God will judge all this stuff we've said with our tongue. God's going to judge for you. Say, oh boy, old so-and-so, he got up, he told that crowd off, and he got away with it. I'll tell you right now, there's a judgment coming. We'd better be careful what we say. And I'll say this. As preachers, I've said things that I'd give $1 million preaching if I had it. I would never said in the pulpit. I've said things in the pulpit I wished I'd never said. I've said things on the radio I wished I'd never said. I'm honest with you. And we'll get to that in just a minute. Now I'm going to read several verses from the book of James, if you got your Bibles. Now, the Bible said in Psalm 139, David, a very young man. By the way, God was preparing this young man, David, to be king of Israel. And David realized that God controlled his tongue. David realized that God needed to control his tongue, okay? And so he's going to be king. You will never get elevated to a position of greatness if your tongue is not under control. The Bible talked about in 2 Peter that we're to add temperance to our faith, that's self-control. And if we can't control ourselves, and I can't control myself, I mean, I'm flat preaching to me. I'm honest with you. Some of y'all laughing. You think it's funny. Well, you may get it in the next verse. Amen. Don't you turn the radio off. If I've got to take it like a man, you do too. Amen. That's right. And I tell you, God's tearing me up about it. Amen. That's right. Go ahead and laugh about it. All right. James chapter number 3. See, y'all got me so upset. I don't know where I'm at. James chapter number 3 and verse number 1. The Bible says, my brethren, be not many masters, watch this, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Verse 2, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in the in word, the same is a perfect man, and the Bible said, and able also to bridle the whole body. Let me stop right there at verse number 2. He said, if there's a man that is never offended with his tongue, then that man's a perfect man. He's a mature man. He's a complete man. But I'm going to say this. I think everybody's offended with their tongue sometime in their life. We get upset. We say things we shouldn't. We all do that. We all do it. But God has mercy. God forgives. Amen. Thank God for the forgiveness of God. Amen. And so God forgives us. But we need to be careful about what we say. Verse number 3 says, behold, now pay attention. We put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Now let me stop right there. A big old horse. A horse is an animal of war. In the Bible, they used them for war. God's going to come back from heaven on one of them. The day of the horse is not over. I promise you that. We may have Ford and Chevrolet and Nissan and Toyota and all those. But I promise you this, the day of the horse is not over yet. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. But that big old animal, that big old horse, and a horse can hurt you. If you know, I don't know anything about a horse, so I'm not gonna mess the horse much. I don't know anything about them. I know a fella told me one time, man's in heaven now. He said we had a horse, and I went down there and I had a piece of chicken in my hand. He said I had a chicken breast in my hand. That horse reached out and grabbed that chicken breast and chomped it and bit my hand. I'm not gonna mess the horse. But you know what? They put bits in their mouth, and you can control them. Amen. They're brought under subjection. All right, now let's go on with the illustration. Verse number 4. The Bible said, behold also the ships, which though they be so great. Boy, think about a great ship. And are, the Bible said, are driven of fierce winds. Yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. In other words, that captain can make that ship go where he wants to by turning that big ship with a little bit of him. Verse number 5. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Now, we turn the horses' bodies, but I tell you what, this old tongue, we just can't control it, can we? I mean, our tongue is a little member of our body. The ships are great, but our tongue is a little bitty member. But boy, the tongue can boast great things, don't it? Amen. I know where there's a little old fellow was when I was growing up, and his daddy was the greatest in the world. I mean, and by the way, I got nothing wrong with his daddy being his hero. But he got to talking about one time. He said that him and his daddy went to, and all of us boys were gathered around. We wanted to hear what he had to say. And he said him and his daddy went to the wrestling matches. And he got talking about that wrestling. And he got talking about them fellas are wrestling. And before you know it, his daddy had left that. This is his tale he was telling. Before you know it, his daddy had left the seat in the bleachers. And his daddy went down to the ring. His daddy got in that wrestling ring. And his daddy whooped one or two of them wrestlers. Now, you know that ain't true. Amen? Why, those wrestlers could have... I remember my mama told a story one time. They went to wrestling matches. I guess it's long, many years ago, about 60, 55 years ago. When I was before I was born, I guess, or right near the time I was born, my daddy threatened one of those wrestlers, and he challenged my daddy to get in the ring with him. Well, if my daddy was 6 foot something, I don't know, he's a pretty big tall fella, but if my daddy went down there, that fella knew how to handle him, why, he'd have made mush out of him. Now, here's what I'm saying. That tongue can boast, right? I could sit here today and tell you that I know how to fly an airplane. I could tell you that I flew over the Atlantic, I flew over the Pacific, that I've jumped out of an airplane with a parachute, that I've done this and done that. But let me tell you something, amen, let me tell you something. I've never done any of that. The tongue can boast anything. As little kids, you can make yourself anybody you want to be, amen? And some of us preachers, we make ourselves anybody we want to be, right? We got to be careful of this thing of exaggeration, amen? My wife, over the years, and she didn't mean it unkind. She wasn't ugly about that, but she'd tell me a little bit about how I exaggerate a little bit sometimes, and I need to be careful about that. That tongue, boy, it puts a new light on it, right? Amen, that's right. Now, verse number 6 says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so is the tongue, the Bible said, among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. What about that? Well, he said in the previous verse that we read that how great a matter little fire kindleth. You drop a spark in a bale of hay, and before you know it, you can burn the barn down. You can burn 40 acres of straw. You can burn a house. Brother, I'm going to tell you this today. One little word you say out of the Spirit can wreck your church, wreck your deacon board, if you're trying to pick a pastor, wreck your pulpit committee. I mean, you got to be careful. You got to be careful what you say. Amen. And boy, we need to be careful in our day and time. I tell you, and I'm going to go ahead and say this because I'm feeling like I need to say it anyhow. And I don't think y'all get mad at me, but if you do, you have to pray about it. God never intended for us to put our church issues in any church. And I'm not preaching to one church. I'm preaching to all churches. God never intended for us in the power of the tongue. Now you say, but it's written down. Yeah, it is, but the tongue's behind it. And God never intended for us to air our church problems on social media. God never intended for us to put our church problems on the sign outside of the church. Amen. Had a dear preacher call me one day. Great man of God, good man of God, my friend. And he said to me, He said, "Brother Ricky, what's going on with such and such a church?" And the church is in my neck of the woods, so to speak. And I said, "I don't know why. What are you talking about?" He said, "Well, something's going on in that church." He said, "I just passed back and said, man, they got some things." He told me what was on the church sign. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I've known people, and they'll take to this social media and run each other down. And I tell you, one of the dumbest things in the world is people to get mad at each other on there and unfriend somebody. Now, that shows your immaturity. Friend, you can unfriend me any day you want to. I promise you I won't lose 1 minute sleep on it, because I don't live on that thing. You say, "Preacher, don't you know what so-and-so said about you?" Let me tell you something. I'm on stations in Georgia, Alabama, Texas, North Carolina, Tennessee, Kentucky, Illinois. I go into Virginia. I don't know where all I go on radio. And I assure you that I preach every day. And I assure you somebody talks about me every day of my life. Somebody says something about me. I'm on the radio 7 days. Now, I don't pay attention to that. What you say about me ain't going to bother me. Amen. I'm gonna go forward on down the road and love the Lord. Amen. Why, somebody ain't gonna like my looks. If you see me, you'll think I'm ugly. How about that? Amen. Why, if you see me, you may think my nose ain't where it ought to be, or my ears ain't where they ought to be, or my voice ain't where it ought to be, or my delivery ain't where it ought to be, or I'm uneducated. You may think anything you want to think about me. But you want to know something? I don't answer criticism. When a man criticizes me, I don't answer that. I'm like Dr. Seitler. If you send me a letter that is cruel and mean, I file it in file 13. You know what that is? The garbage can. Amen. I don't debate the Bible. And I tell you preachers that debate the Bible, let me just tell you something. When you start slinging mud with another preacher, you both of you are losing ground. Amen. That's right. Dr. Ballou said, when you sling mud, you're both losing ground. Amen. And so now let me go on. I love you. I love every one of you. I love me too, but I'm having to preach this. Verse number 7 of James chapter 3 says, "For every kind of beast," and the Bible said, "of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind." In other words, there ain't never been an animal on earth that ain't been tamed. Man, can you think about man taming the big old elephant? Can you think about man taming a wild dog? Can you think about man taming Job talked about the wild asses that God allows to run free. And men will go up there and they'll get those horses and those asses and they'll break them in. And I went there several years ago. When I was a young preacher, I was holding a meeting in the state of Kentucky. And the fellow said to me, "Let's go out there and we're going to watch them break some horses." And I thought, my land, I don't know about that. And somehow or another, I ended up in the pen with the horses. And I said, "I don't know about this, amen." And But the deal was, they're going to break them horses so they could use them. They're going to tame those horses. Can you imagine a man having a pig for a pet? Can you imagine a man having a raccoon? Those things will tear you up for a pet. Can you imagine? A fella told me a story one time. He said there was this fella, I think he was a preacher. And if it's you, brother, whoever you are, I don't know who it was, but if it's you, please don't get offended me telling on the radio. I don't know who it was. It's some preacher, another preacher telling about this preacher. He went up in the mountains and he caught him a little cub bear. A couple of these fellas did. And they put that bear in the car. And buddy, about time they did, old mama bear come out, and that little bear cub tore their car all to pieces. Now, they ought to known better to put a wild bear in a car. They'd put him in there, going to take him home. That mama bear about ready to kill him. I think they ended up having to get in a cabin and close the door. That bear about to eat them up. Now, let me tell you, that's kind of funny, ain't it? You go ahead and laugh. But here's the deal. The tongue. Can you imagine us taming all those animals? But notice this. Notice verse number 8, but the tongue, that little bitty member in your body, but the tongue. Watch this right here, if I can get my pages right. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. You know what your tongue, you say, "Oh, preacher, I'm righteous, I don't say anything about anybody." Oh, you can that spirituality. The Bible said your tongue is full of deadly poison. And the Bible said your tongue is an unruly evil. My tongue, I told a fellow the other day, I said, I tried laying my tongue on the altar. The altar wasn't big enough. Amen. Somebody came to Mays Jackson one day. A lady came to Brother Mays and said, "Brother Mays, I'd like to lay my tongue on the altar for Jesus. Brother May said, well, there's 40 foot of altar stretcher out there. And he said, what you can't get in the altar, call the rest of it up in the corner. You know what we need today? God, help us. We need to control our tongues. God, help the church. God, help me. God, be with me. God, be with the deacons, the choir leaders. God, be with people in position, the Sunday school teachers, the youth group, the young people, the old people, down on your job where you say, preacher, I'm going to tell them what I think. You ain't thinking when you do that. Listen, God, help us. And I tell you what, amen, us preachers are worse than a bunch of women. Amen. My wife, not long ago, she told me, she was in a certain place, and there were some ladies around too, and I wasn't where she was at the time, but she told me about a group of preachers, and she overheard some, and I'll tell you something, us preachers do our fair share of talking, amen? Let me tell you this, amen, do you know that women talk, preachers talk, men talk, the phone, the social media? And I'll tell you something, brother, we got to be careful with our tongue. Amen. Now, let me hurry. I don't be ugly with you. I'm trying to help you. Look at verse number 9. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Did you know I'm made after God's likeness? I got arms like God and legs like God and eyes like God. And when you curse me and say how ugly I am and all that stuff, did you know you're talking about God's creature? You talk about me all you want to, but you're talking about God's creature. Well, that cop, when he comes on the radio, and boy, his voice ain't the bit you're talking about. You're talking about one of God's creatures. We better be careful we're talking about somebody else. You say, well, they're just not like me. God made them the way they are. I'm glad they ain't no other Ricky Cawthorns. Amen. All of you'd like baseball and amen. And all of you'd like watermelon. Amen. And every one of you fellas would have wanted to marry my wife. So I'm glad you're not like me. Amen. No, sir. There ain't but one Ricky Cawthorn. One. Oh, there's some other Ricky Cawthorns in the world. I heard about another Ricky Cawthorn in another state. But he ain't like me. And I ain't like him. I'll guarantee you that. Amen. That's right. Amen. All right. So now, let me show you this. Verse number 10 says, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brother, he's talking about saved people. By the way, I'm going to stop right here and say, a saved person ought never to use cuss words, never. We shouldn't do that. Amen. Peter did it. I don't go around cussing people, and you shouldn't either. Amen. You say, well, a little old word ain't nothing wrong with it. It's wrong. The Bible said it's wrong. You'd be surprised how so-called Christian people talk. Amen. You'd be surprised. Amen. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and curse. He said, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. Let me back up here. Let me back up to James chapter number 3, verse number 10. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Verse 11 says, doth a fountain send forth this... let me read it again. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can your tongue glorify God running down men, running down your church, running down your pastor? We better be careful. Now, that some things need to be said in the right way, but I'll get to that in just a minute. Now, the word tongue is found 19 times in the book of Proverbs. I'm not going to read all these verses to you on the tongue from the book of Proverbs, but I'm going to read from the book of Proverbs. I'm going to read some of them. Proverbs, you write these down. Proverbs, if you can't keep up with me on the radio and wherever you're listening to me from, write these down. You can go back. Proverbs 10 and verse number 20. Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 20. The Bible says, the tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. You know what? A man that is righteous and just with God, his speech is worth something. I had a man tell me some things not long ago. This man's a lot older than me. I would do anything for this man. I'd fight a buzzsaw for him. And some things he told me, it really helped me. And by the way, sometimes it's not the most pleasant things in life that'll help you. Somebody said, I'll just tell you right now, I'm not going to let anybody rebuke me. I want to thank God for every man that's ever rebuked me. I want to thank God for it. It's made me a better Christian. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. Let me tell you something, young preacher, young man, you think you're 30-year-old, you've graduated Bible college, you think you know everything they ought to know. I want you to know something. You don't know half what you ought to know. The Bible college will never teach you what life and experience will. And many things you're going to have to learn. Let me tell you something. You know what? Time and experience will teach you a lot of things. And by the way, men will teach you. You younger men are doing yourselves a great disservice if you separate yourselves from older preachers. You know that? I'm tired of this mentality among our younger people. Well, it's our day and the day of the old man is over. You're being foolish. Somebody said, well, this is the young people's day. It's not your day if you're 15-year-old. It's not your day. No, you gotta grow. This is the old man's day. And when he's dead, it'll be somebody else's day, and then it'll be somebody else's day. We're elevating kids before they're prepared to do that. Oh, but this is the kid's day. No, it's not. No, it's not. No. No. You see, and I know some of you don't like that, but I don't care if you like it or not. I love you. I'm trying to help you. Listen, if you're 75-year-old, it's your day. If you're a preacher and you're 60-year-old, it's your day. Your day is not past. Listen, who said in this Bible that you get 65 and you retire from the ministry? That sickens me. That sickens me. Did Dr. Sattler retire from the ministry? Did Dr. Oliver Green retire from the ministry? Did Dr. Lester Roloff retire from the ministry? Did Hiles retire from the ministry? Did Curtis Hudson retire from the ministry? Did Tom Malone retire from the ministry? Now, there might be certain instances, certain cases where you have to give up the church, where you have to. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to preach as long as God gives these two lungs breath. Amen. So if I live a while, you get to hear me a while longer. Amen. Now let me go back and say something about the young people. I got nothing wrong with young people doing things in church. Please don't misunderstand that. I'm for young people. Some of you think I'm not. I'm for young people. I'm for them. But I want to tell you, we got to get our priorities back, right? It's our day. Amen. And we better be careful about our tongues and what we say. Amen. Amen. Listen. Amen. Listen. We got to be careful. Now the tongue of the just is worth a lot. Proverbs 10:31 says, the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom. A person that lives right is going to speak wisdom. Now, wisdom's knowing how to use knowledge. Wisdom's knowing how to react in a situation. But the froward, the tongue shall be cut off. In other words, the deceitful man, the crafty man. Our churches are filled. Our churches, I read this yesterday from a commentary writer, and he's right. Our churches are filled with people that they're full of craft. They're full of trickery. I believe he's talking along them lines. Our churches, the man I read after yesterday, but he didn't say it in that way, but our churches are full of trickery. But a just man is going to speak wisdom. You see, I find that we live in an age, in a world, when people don't want wisdom. They don't want God. They've got it all planned out how man ought to be. If we can just get us a young, charismatic fella, he can do this and do that, and people's following that kind of stuff. Listen, let me tell you something. It ain't about personality. It ain't about charisma. It ain't about degrees. It is about God's plan and what God wants. Amen. Our tongues. A just man's going to speak wisdom. A man that's living right is going to tell you wisdom. Amen. I had a man tell me this. I probably not tell this, but I'm going to tell anyway. When I pastored in the mountains of North Carolina, I had the wrong idea about some things sometimes. I went up there and I thought I was the only tin can rattling in the alley. And a man called me one day, a dear friend of mine. Me and him was friends from my youth. And this man said, Brother Ricky, he said, you're messing your church up. He just confronted me with my mentality. And boy, I tell you what, it made me mad. I thought, that man's got no right to talk to me that way. I sat back in the chair. Or I sat in the chair that day. And I said, that man's right. And I'm wrong. That man's right. And I'm wrong. And I tell you what a lot of you young preachers would do. You'd do well to say, I'm wrong. I don't ever admit I'm wrong to anybody. You'll not make it 5 years in the ministry with that mentality. You forget it. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. You'll forget it. Friend, I want to be rebuked. Amen. Proverbs 12:18 says, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. That's Ricky Cothran right there. But the tongue of the wise is health. Some of us preachers would take wise counsel right here. I've ruined certain portions of my ministry. I stood yesterday with a man. I talked with an older preacher for a long time. I guess me and him talked for 30 minutes in my, right there near my office door. We stood outside in the hallway and talked for about 30 minutes. And I told this man how I'd ruined part of my ministry by some of this piercing preaching. I just get a sword and just stick everything that moves and stick everybody that moves and enjoy it while I'm doing it. And oh, how wrong I've been. Let me say to you that I am not a compromising liberal. I'll not compromise on one inch of this Bible. I won't change on it. I'm not going to back up on it. I won't quit preaching it. But there's a right way to preach and a wrong way to preach. And David knew, somehow, David knew if he was going to be king. Somebody said this psalm was written while he was a shepherd boy. I believe somehow, I don't know if David knew at this time when he wrote Psalm 139, the Bible said, there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, thou knowest it altogether. And I don't know if David knew he was going to be king or not. But I believe David knew that God was going to do something with him. In order for God to do something with me and you, and I'm 57 as I'm preaching this. A lot of years have went by. I'm closing in, get ready to start my 40th year in the ministry. And I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed that I'm no farther along than I am. I'm ashamed that my tongue flaps and claps as it does. The Bible said, study to be quiet. Amen. Just like we study the Bible, we're to study to be quiet. The Bible said a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. I don't want to pierce people. I don't want to come on the radio and take a sword and just stick you. I want to preach because I love you. You say, preacher, you've said some hard things today only because I love you. And if you listen to me long, you'll know that I love you. You can't preach to people and you can't be effective to people until you love them. Until a man knows you love him, he won't listen to you. I'm preaching some old sinner out there, dope addict right now. You're on drugs, and man, you're wicked as the devil. I'm not going to come around and tell you how wicked you are. You don't need me to tell you that. But you need me to tell you that Jesus loves you. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Sinner, God loves you. He'd like to see you fall on your knees right now and get saved today. Amen. I don't want to pierce you through. Sometimes we think the rougher we preach to the sinner, the more... By the way, that's not an excuse for being a softy either. That's not an excuse for saying, well, I'm never going to preach against sin. Well, you won't preach the Bible, will you? All right. Proverbs 15, verse number 2. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools, the Bible said, poureth out foolishness. You ever seen anybody tuck knowledge and use it wrong? You ever seen anybody twist a Bible verse just to fit themselves? You ever seen that to justify themselves? They'll twist the Bible and they'll get the Greek down. I looked it up in the Greek, preacher. Well, the last time looked at my Bible, it's wrote in English. God didn't say I had to be a Greek scholar to understand this. You know what fundamentalism needs in this hour? It needs some simplicity. That's what it needs. We need some simple preaching again. We're too worried about an outline more than we are God. We're too worried about alliteration. Now, I'm going to say this about that. When you have to use, and I'm not against that. Don't misunderstand me. Don't you go off and say I'm against it. You're lying on me. But I'm going to tell you, when you use alliteration and you have to stop and explain the point you just used to alliterate, you're impressing a crowd, not pleasing God. I'm going to say that again. When you have to use a point in alliteration and you have to stop and explain that point because it's such a big word, you are not. What you're doing is you're pleasing a crowd and not you're impressing the crowd and you're not pleasing God. A lot of preachers preach so they can get a meeting somewhere. Listen, I'm only interested in coming to your church and preaching if God wants me to. By the way, if God wants me to be there, I'll be there. You say, preacher, we'll criticize you. I could be your next pastor. You better be careful. You don't know what God might do. You know what God told me the other night? I know y'all think I'm crazy. It's all right with me. I was outside looking up at the moon. God said, son, if I can put that moon in the sky, he said, I can put you anywhere I need you to go and let you do anything I need you to. I believe in the sovereignty of God. I believe in the power of a holy God, don't you? Proverbs 15:4. The Bible said a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. You ever been full of God and prayed, and then you met somebody, got talking to them, all of a sudden, boom, you said something. Oh, sorry, I scared two or three of you. Have you ever said something, and all of a sudden your spirit just, that power that you had, that presence of God, the Holy Spirit will withdraw himself when you're talking about somebody else. And I'm talking about, he's did that to me 1,000,000,000 times since I've been saved. Brother, he's not going to put up with that. God told me one day, he said, if you go act like this, I'll have no part of it. Brother, there's two things about the Spirit of God. Grieving the Spirit is doing what you ought not do to him. And quenching him is not doing what you ought to do in him. Amen. Listen to me. I want you to hear me. I want you to hear me. Our tongue is our biggest enemy. My tongue is my biggest enemy. Your tongue is your biggest enemy. Now, I've got two more points, so I've got to hurry along. Proverbs 25:11 said, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. I've had men speak just a little word to me, not much, just a little word to me, and it's worth more than anything in the world. Now, I move to my seventh point, Psalm 139:5. Psalm 139:5, thou hast beset me behind and before. David said, what you've done is you've enclosed me. You've surrounded me. Amen. You've hemmed me in. I want to thank God. God's hemmed me in. God protects my ways. Amen. Did you know God's hand had to be on David as he was getting ready to be king of Israel? David went through some awful stuff in his youth. He did. He went through some awful things. But God beset him before and behind. I'm glad God's, if you walk with God, God will enclose you. And by the way, Romans 8:28 is still in the Bible. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Amen. There's things that's happened to me that I didn't see how in the world God was going to get any good out of that. But brother, it's for my good. Not God's good, but my good. And later on, I seen it was for my good. There's churches I've wanted to pastor, and God said, no, I'm not going to let you go over there. And boy, I didn't understand. But you know, it's just like a little kid. You wouldn't give a 5-year-old a machine gun, say, play with that. You wouldn't give a 5-year-old a can of poison, say, play with it. Boy, there's things I've wanted. God said, no, you can't have that. No, that's not. He did say this in Psalm 84. He will withhold no good thing from them that walk what? Uprightly. If I walk uprightly, God got to give me the good stuff. Amen. That's what the Bible said, and I'm going to believe the Word of God now. Amen. In Job 23:10, the Bible said, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You know, I said this earlier when we was going through Psalm 19. Gold is a valuable, it's the chiefest of metals. When God tries you, let it be the chiefest of trials. God was preparing David. David didn't have a glorious life after attending those sheep. David was the 8th son of Jesse. I've told you this many times in this study. David's the 8th son of Jesse. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 are not out there. They're not helping. Eliab, Shammah, and Aminadab, they're not out there. They're not helping. They're not doing. And David could have complained. David could have said, this ain't fair. David could have said, this ain't right. And David could have went back and told his daddy, I ain't doing this. Because you won't make them come do their part. Let me tell you young people something. You're always a-fussing when your mama tells you to do something. Well, my brother ain't done his part. My sister ain't done her part. I'm going to tell you something. You listen to me, young people. I'm going to tell you something that's hard. Listen to me. If your mama tells you to do something, I don't care what she tells your sister to do. You do your part. When that woman's laying dead and cold in that casket, you wished you'd obeyed her. I walked down that aisle that morning, that Tuesday morning, May 9, 2017, and I did something. I walked down and touched my little mama on the head, that little old cold body. As far as I know, I'll never touch another dead person in my life if I can help it. God told me through the Holy Ghost, he said, you get away from here. She ain't in there. I turned my back on that casket and I walked down that aisle. But I'd give $1 million right now if my mama could give me one more order. If my mama could say, son, wash those dishes or mow that yard. You see, I'll never see my mama again on this side. If I live to be 100, I don't have a mama here. If I live to be 100, I don't have a daddy here. My daddy used to say to me, son, mow the yard. I wouldn't mow the yard. Say, no, I'd rather watch TV, daddy. And daddy say, you're just lazy, boy. You won't do anything. And he was right. He was right. My daddy tried to get me to do stuff. He was right. I didn't understand that for many years. I'd give $1 million if I could hear daddy speak again and say, son, will you do this for me? Son, would you do that for me? The last thing my daddy was doing, one of the last things he ever said to me in the nursing home, laying on the bed dying, he's begging for something for his pain. I said, daddy, I'll go get the nurse, see if I can get, I think that's what I told him that day. Oh, you listen to me. You listen to me 1,000 times. You listen to me. You young people, you better obey mom. And David's out there, and he obeyed his daddy. David didn't argue. David, you know why? Because God had him beset. God had his ways beset. Now, I want to close with the last thing, and I think this is a very important thing. And I think I could preach a whole message on this. Now, this closes this message. It don't close Psalm 139, but it closes the first 5 verses. Look at number 8. My 8th thought is this. Psalm 139, verse number 5. And laid thine hand upon me. Now, I know when you get saved, you get the Holy Spirit. He comes in there to live right there, right in you, right at that time. But I'm going to say this to you, friend. I'd rather have God's hand on my ministry and on my life and on my wife. I don't only want God's hand on my ministry. I want God's hand on my wife. My wife is such a great part of what I do. I could not do it without her. No, sir. Me and her work together. We're together every day. We know we're partners in the ministry like Aquila and Priscilla. I want God's hand on my home. I want God's hand about the... You know what the devil told God? God said, "If thou consider my servant Job," he said, "you put a hedge about him." In other words, God, I can't touch that man. You put a, oh, that God would put a hedge about me and my ministry, my church, my pastor. Oh, that God would put a hedge about my wife, my radio stations. Oh, that God would put a hedge about me. I want those hedges in my life, don't you? Yes, sir. I want those hedges in my life. Now, I the hand of God, Ezra, was a great man. He left Babylon, went back to Jerusalem. In Ezra 7:6, the Bible said this, Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. Preachers, do you know how you'll prosper? It ain't necessarily a degree from the Bible college. It ain't necessarily an expository outline, although I've got nothing wrong with you preaching like that. But you shouldn't have anything wrong with a man preaching topical either. We've drawn so many lines in fundamentalism. If this guy don't do it the way I do it, he ain't doing it. That's so wrong. I tell you, preachers, the common denominator between Howes, Hudson, Sightler, Green, Moody, Sunday, Edwards, the common denominator between all those, and they were difference in daylight and dark between those men. A lot of those men, you know what the common denominator was? Every one of them were filled with the Holy Ghost. You think the hand of God wasn't on Dr. Harold B. Sightler when Tabernacle Baptist Church of Greenville, South Carolina was born in an all-night prayer meeting? You think the hand of God wasn't on Oliver B. Green when God laid it on his heart to record radio messages? And for the past many years, that man since 1976 has preached to more men dead than he ever did alive. You think God wasn't on that man? You think God wasn't on the hand of Dwight Moody? We still quote him. We still talk about him. We still preach about him. You think God's hand wasn't on him? My old pastor, he's in heaven now. He used to say this. It remains to be seen what God will do with just one man that will yield himself to the Holy Ghost. I'd find myself in the altar at the Rhonda Baptist Tabernacle saying, oh God, I want to be that man. Oh, listen, friend, I want to be the man God uses. One of my pastors said this, I'd like to be the man that God only has to speak to once. My goal is to serve my goal ain't money and riches and retirement and all this. That ain't my goal. I have no goals such as that. I'll say this, if God fails me when I get old and God fails me and I have to get out at 80 years old and go knocking on doors begging for bread, then God deceived me. But if God does do that, I'll still look to heaven and praise Him. There's nothing going to turn me from God by the grace of God. I'm locked in like a pit bull and I'm going to finish this thing, buddy. I want to die right. My dear friend, Dr. Stennett Ballew, he drilled it in me. Die right. And that old man of God went out to meet God right. Brother Sammy Allen told me, said, I was there by his bedside when he died. Then it wasn't about a year later, Brother Sammy, well, a little over a year, he went out to meet God. We had two funerals. We carried them on the radio live in about 13, 14 months or two of the greatest men in America. And brother, those men died like they lived. God help Catherine. I want to die the way I live. I want to die. Well, the devil don't like that. Oh, no. But I think about another man named Nehemiah. And I'm going to close with this verse. Nehemiah 2:8 said, and a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertained to the house, and for the wall, the Bible said, of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Men, you know why you ain't getting your prayers answered? Maybe you don't have the good hand of God upon you. You'll never live for God, preacher, spiritual. You can't live in the spiritual world and in the sports world at the same time. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to watch sports, but I tell you, you can't dwell there. You'll not dwell in the spiritual world and the sports world at the same time. You'll not dwell in the spiritual world and the financial world at the same time. Oh, the psalmist said, you've beset me. He said, thy hand is upon me. I want God's hand on me. If I preach one more year, or 35 more years, or 40 more years, if I preach 80 more years, boy, that'd be a stretch, wouldn't it? How many ever years I preach, I want. If I'm preaching when I'm 80 years old, I want God's hand on my life. Oh, preachers, would you like to bow by the radio today and say, God, I want your hand on me. I need your power. I need your prayer. Now listen, I know you have the Spirit of God in you. I'm not talking about going back and getting a second blessing. But I'm talking about letting God feel. I told God this morning, I want God to utilize the power that is in me, and I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost as much as it's possible for a mortal man to be filled with Him. And brother, when you do that, you can get something done for God. Father, there's preachers all over America. There's young men listening to me, Bible students. There's young ladies, God, they won't preach, but they'll do a service for you. And what they need is you to lay your hand on them. Oh, God, thank you for many years ago laying your hand on my life. Please keep your hand on my ministry. Lord, don't take your hand off. Don't let me be like Saul. Lord, don't let me finish in vain. God, help me. Don't let me be shipwrecked, as Paul talked about. Lord, let me be spiritual to the day I die. Oh, God, help me to stay away from sin and the devil. God, oh, Lord, how often sin doth allure me. But, oh, God, help me. I confess my sin. Help me and my wife, Lord, as we labor in these ministries together. Help us, oh, God. Lord, help. I want my family. I want my family to be right with you and to walk with you. I want a hedge about everything that I do. Put a hedge about our ministries here, Lord. And help us in this hour. Help everybody, Lord. There's 1,000 preachers out there right now. They need a touch from you. God, they need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, Lord, for the first time in their life. They need to not rely on books and philosophy and thoughts of the brethren. But God, they need to rely on the Holy Ghost. There are deacons out there that need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, oh Lord. There's churches out there across this vast earth that I'm preaching to. Lord, they're without pastors. God, help those pulpit committees to be filled with the Holy Ghost. God, help us. Help our young people, Lord, the young ladies and our young men to be filled. Not seek a career, but Lord, to find the calling in their life. This thing ain't about a career. It's about a calling. Oh God, call some people. Lord, call some people to our ministry. You said send some laborers. Lord, challenge some young man. He might call me up and say, preacher, I need to come to work for you. Some young lady might want to come to work for our ministry. Lord, as the lady did John Rice's ministry many years ago. Lord, challenge people from the Word. In Jesus' name, amen.